In the last week, there have been many live reports from the battlefront in Iraq. That reflects a combination of access, the Pentagon has embedded reporters within military units, and technology. Lightweight audio and video equipment beams digitized voices and pictures up to satellites and down to us. The distance between the war and the home front has been erased. As Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld remarked in a briefing this week, we've come a long way.
In World War II, there was no television. People would go to the movies because the beginning of the movie would be a 15-minute preview of what took place, not the day before or the minute before or the hour before or what was taking place at that moment, but it was a summary of the week's news of World War II.
May 26th, the beaches at Dunkirk. In the face of a fierce Nazi onslaught, Belgium had collapsed and British and French troops were trapped in the pincers as German forces advanced relentlessly.
Secretary Rumsfeld called them previews, but they were actually newsreels. Like a preview, a newsreel played before the main feature.
From secret airstrips in England, an umbrella of 1,000 Allied planes takes off to cover a hit-and-run raid on the French coast.
Getting reports from the front in the Second World War was difficult, dangerous, and discouraged, and it was slow. That lag between war and the news goes back to the first attempts of newsmen to report from the front lines. Retired Navy Captain Brayton Harris has written about the history of war reporting. He says the first time reporters embedded themselves with troops was in the Mexican War in the 1840s.
Five reporters representing newspapers in New York and New Orleans were on scene and using a combination of horses, steamboats, railroads, and about 50 miles of telegraph wire, were able to get their reports back to Washington before the official Army reports, which distressed the Army no end. And in fact, some of the editors were arrested for violation of the postal rules for trying to run a private postal service.
And in the Civil War, at the Battle of Antietam, New York newspapers had reporters embedded secretly. They donned uniforms. When they could, they got dispatches back to their papers on military telegraphs. Here's an excerpt from New York Tribune reporter George Smalley's dispatch about the slaughter of September 17, 1862.
Burnside is outnumbered, flanked, compelled to yield the hill he took so bravely. His position is no longer one of attack. He defends himself with unfaltering firmness, but he sends to McClellan for help.
But, says historian Brayton Harris, Smalley had more to say.
So he managed to get to Baltimore, get on a train, got to New York, writing his copy as he went. And on the morning of the 19th of September, a 10,000-word dispatch appeared in the New York Tribune, thoroughly outlining the Battle of Antietam.
2 days after the action.
Absolutely.
That seemed instantaneous at the time. And during the Spanish-American War in 1898, you could catch a glimpse of battlefield action at one of the many Nickelodeons sprouting up across the country, moving pictures which by then were weeks old. No quick frontline reports or film in the First World War either. Newsreels were still a war away. And when the Korean conflict broke out, television was still one war away. Vietnam was the first television war. It was TV, but it was not instant TV. Historian Brayton Harris again.
Moving images were all on film. There were no processing facilities in Vietnam. The film was flown to Tokyo, by and large, where it was processed. In fact, all of the bureau chiefs had motorcycle messengers who would ride out to Tanzanute Airport with a film bag and hand it to the pilot of a Pan Am airplane about to head off for Tokyo.
Sniper fire is still coming from some buildings around the officer's quarters. Straight from the Joint Chiefs of Command.
Technology delivered a live war in 1991, but it took an old-fashioned wired telephone to bring us to Baghdad for the opening of the first Gulf War.
Atlanta, this is Holloman. I don't know whether you're able to hear me now or not, but I'm going to continue to talk to you as long as I can. The skies of Baghdad have been filled up with the sounds of gunfire here tonight.
And 12 years later, today, we get the better sound and pictures in real time. Some people say the result is episodic and fragmentary, vivid close-ups of something that can only be appreciated from a distance. But whatever its shortcomings, today's battlefield reporting is the most immediate view of war that civilians back home have ever had.